Hello, Cell Habits for Church. It has been far too long since I have seen most of you. But 2 weeks ago, on the weekend of our fall kickoff, I was delighted to reconnect with some of you. Karen and I were invited to visit 5 different church at home gatherings, and then we joined the others of you at the South Poplar picnic site. As I look into this camera to speak to you today, I feel like I can see you in your homes and garages and repurposed workshops, or in various locations where you're gathered in our South Abbotsford Church campus. That image infuses me with joy today. You have not forsaken gathering with the church for teaching, for your life together, perhaps a shared meal and prayer. That's the Acts story of the way the early days of the Jerusalem church and what their life together was like. For several weeks, we've been looking at Acts 2:42, where Luke says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Right from the start, the Holy Spirit gave shape to the church gathered in their homes. As Matt has said, it's the original church at home. So if you feel like this strategy for gathering the church is second best, because we have emphasized go to church more than be the church, think about it again. The body of Jesus' people started this way. They gathered in their homes and devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, the life together, the shared meal, which included communion, and the prayers. Just maybe in this return to our original roots of being the church, the Holy Spirit is up to something profound and powerful. Jesus said there would be a new wineskin for the new wine of the Spirit's work, and I believe that's happened many times through the centuries. So today I want to look at a story of this original church at home in prayer. Acts 4 presents a great example of the church praying. It was the first recorded crisis for the young church. Peter and John healed a lame man outside of the temple. This miracle provided them with a great opportunity to tell the people watching about Jesus. But Peter and John were detained and brought before the rulers and the elders and the teachers of the law for questioning about this healing and their continued insistence to preach about Jesus. So Luke says, chapter 4, verse 23, on their release, Peter and John went back to their own people. The point I'm making about prayer here is to go to your friends for prayer. Luke says they literally went to their own. It simply means family, friends, close associates, their own church at home. Peter and John didn't go to the other apostles. They went to the church gathered in a home. The cooks, the carpenters, the merchants of first century Jerusalem. These were the people that they asked to support and pray for them. I want to make the point that the natural place to go for prayer is with our friends. Over my years leading the church, I think people have thought that if they need prayer, the first place to go is to the pastor or the elders of the church. We communicate regularly that if you need prayer, let one of our pastoral team know so that we can pray for you. It's natural that we think this way because if we go to church, that's what we would do. And that's not wrong. I do want to pray for you. But it's not better or more powerful or more certain that there will be an answer if a church leader prays for you. If we are being the church, then to go to your own people, to go to your church at home people and join them to pray with passion and urgency and confidence about the things on your heart and in your life. Luke goes on to say, and they went to this group and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. The point I'm making about prayer is to be devoted to pray about everything. Peter and John had just been released from custody. They went straight to their own people and told the believers specifically what the chief priests and the elders had said. Verse 29 clues us in on what this was. The people prayed, "Now, Lord, look upon their threats." In other words, Peter and John had told them about the threats. The priests and the elders demanded that Peter and John not speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. Earlier in the story, in verse 21, it says they threatened them further. They wanted to scare them, probably with a physical beating or more jail time or even worse than that. So the reason for this prayer is the very dangerous threats against the preaching of God's word in the name of Jesus. Now, there were extraordinary obstacles in the way of the church making Jesus known. This is why the house church was so urgent and passionate in praying. They did not assume that they could keep on and advance the effective ministry without an intervention of the Spirit. Fear could paralyze them at any moment. One look into their children's eyes and they might want to run away where it's comfortable and safe and not risk speaking about Christ in public anymore. The church at home had to pray because it mattered. So I say to all of us, let's pray because it matters. When I say that, I want to emphasize that prayer is not based on emotion. Prayer is based on devotion. Although emotion may be present, passion in our prayer is not merely an emotional expression, nor does it flow from feelings alone. It's based on our devotion to pray in every situation. Many times I hear people praying with great emotion, and this is totally good. It's impactful. This might have to do with their personality or the urgency of the situation, or sometimes being deeply touched by the work of the Spirit in their life. You probably have heard it as well. There is an intimacy, a confidence, a boldness, a faith, a persistence. But listen, this is important. Don't judge each other based on an emotional expression in prayer. It's devotion that results in a prayer of passion and urgency and courage. I'll be honest personally. Too often, I am faced with my own lack of emotion in prayer. I've been praying most of my life. I think I pray throughout my day, often short bursts of prayer in a situation. If I'm with you, I will most likely pray with you at some point. I believe prayer matters for my life, my marriage, my family, this church, our country, our world. But then I listen to my prayer, and sometimes it doesn't sound to me like it matters. How about you? Do you hear that in your prayer as well? Sometimes it doesn't sound like it matters. Well, don't think that your prayer doesn't matter. Don't worry about your lack of emotion. It's your devotion to prayer that matters, being faithful and diligent in praying. Let's make prayer a commitment. Let's make it our priority. It's like a relationship, maybe with a family member, a friendship, or within your marriage to your partner. You will feel emotion in that relationship, but that's not what keeps you in it. It's not what keeps you working at it. It's devotion that makes the relationship work. With everything that we have been through this year, the losses, the changes, the uncertainty, and the unrest that seem like an everyday reality, what we need to be devoted to is to pray for an intimate, and confident, and both a bold, faith-filled, persistent praying. So Luke goes on in telling the story. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. "Sovereign Lord," they said, "you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. So the point I want to make about prayer is remind yourself out loud who God is. As I read this story, it's remarkable that Luke describes these praying Christians with five verses to tell God who he is and two verses to ask God to intervene in the crisis. Now, God does not need to be told who he is, but we Christians need to remind ourselves out loud who God is. And precisely in our prayers, we need to know and confess that God is the kind of God who can and will answer our prayers. Jesus taught us to pray, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." In essence, what these early believers are doing is hallowing God's name before they go on to pray, "Your kingdom come." They identify God's character in two ways. First, they say God is the creator of all things. They know that if God created everything in earth, sea, and heaven, and then these Jewish elders and priests are his creation too, and he can move them as he pleases. Secondly, they out loud remind themselves that God is the one who is the ruler of all. He is the ruler over all actions of evil people. He deflects the rage of the persecutors and empties the plans of the enemies. They say this by quoting from Psalm chapter 2, and then by showing that the psalm was fulfilled in the way that God was in control when evil people killed Jesus. In other words, just like the psalm says, the rage of Christ's enemies comes to nothing and their plotting is empty because God rules even over the hateful deeds of people and he causes them to backfire. Jesus is risen, and the stone which the builders rejected has become the cornerstone of the church that God is now building. All their rage and all their plots are turned back on themselves. So when you pray, remind yourself out loud who God is and what he has done. Here is what we need to take away from our praying today. The theology of God's character is important for having the power of the Holy Spirit at work in our lives. The Spirit of God is the Spirit of truth. He is not indifferent to bad theology in our mind when he comes to fill our heart. If we want the Spirit's power, we will need to fill our minds with the truth that he has revealed about God in Scripture. That keeps our passion anchored to truth. And then our conviction will enable us to pray because it matters. And they continue to pray. "Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus." The point I want to make about prayer is to ask God to do impossible things. The praying church makes their first request, "Now, Lord, consider their threats." It means, "Take note, Lord. What is at stake in this threat? They have commanded us not to speak of Jesus' name anymore. That is what is at stake here. So rouse yourself, God, because nothing is of greater interest to you than the honor of your Son. Rise up, take note, look on their threats." And then they go on to ask for three very specific things: that God would give them boldness, that he would stretch out his hand to heal people, and that he would cause signs and wonders to happen. All this through the name of Jesus. In other words, their ask of God is to be empowered in such a way that the name of Jesus will be vindicated. This is, is essential for our prayer because it shows us how we should be asking God to do impossible things. Furthermore, in Luke 11, Jesus says not to lose heart, but to keep speaking and keep knocking and keep asking the Father for the Holy Spirit. And that means praying not only in general ways for the outpouring of God's Spirit, but in specific ways for the gift of bold proclamation, for God's hand to be stretched to heal, for His Son's name to be honored and vindicated through signs and wonders. Luke finishes the story in this way. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. The point I'm making about prayer is to believe that God will answer your prayer. The parallels here are with what happened a short time earlier in the day of Pentecost. Just consider this. Here, they just prayed. There, in Acts chapter 1, they had been in the upper room praying. Here it says, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. In Acts 2:4, it says, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Exactly the same phrase. Here, God shakes the building to demonstrate His power. There, in Acts 2, a sound came from heaven like the rush of a mighty wind, and fire came down on them. Here, they speak the word of God with boldness. There, in Acts 2, 4, and 11, they began to speak in other tongues, other languages they had not learned, the great things of God as a witness to the people who were watching. In other words, Pentecost was the first great outpouring of the Spirit on the church. And here in this story is another one. On both days, God gives a physical demonstration of His power. On both days, God gives the fullness of the Holy Spirit. On both days, God releases open and courageous speaking about Jesus. Whatever else Pentecost is, it is not a unique outpouring of the Spirit to empower the church for witness, not a one-time thing. The blessing of Pentecost would happen in different ways and in different measures throughout Acts and through the rest of church history. The gift of the Holy Spirit filling us with power in these days, wherever we may gather, is an expected answer to our prayer. I want you to notice that this church, some of them, Peter and John, for example, had been spectacularly obedient. In fact, in verse 8, it says that Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit when he stood to speak in front of the leaders of the Jewish council. Now he and the other people in the house are again filled in this extraordinary way. The reason we are desperately in need of praying like it matters is not because we are disobedient and faithless and weak. This outpouring of the Spirit is exactly what is desperately needed for South Abbotsford Church because of the challenges that we face, the challenges that our city faces and our world faces. When we pray, let's believe that God will answer with a shaking of the house. Oh, my sisters and brothers of South Abbotsford Church, take encouragement from this original church at home. Pray because it matters. Go to your friends for prayer. Join with your own people to pray with passion and urgency and confidence about the things on your heart and in your life. Be devoted to pray about everything. Prayer is not based on emotion. Prayer is based on devotion to pray in every situation. Remind yourself out loud who God is. If we want the Spirit's power, we will need to fill our minds with the truth He has revealed about God in Scripture. Then our conviction will enable us to pray because it matters. Ask God to do impossible things. And that means praying not only in general ways for the outpouring of God's Spirit, praying in specific ways for the gift of bold proclamation, for His hand to be stretched out to heal, and for His Son's name to be honored and vindicated through signs and wonders. And then Believe that God will answer your prayer. This outpouring of the Spirit is exactly what is desperately needed for South Abbotsford Church because of the challenges that we're now facing. When we pray, let's believe that God will answer our prayer with power. Now I want to invite you to bow with me in prayer and make this prayer a personal one that you place before the Father. Dear Heavenly Father, I know that I've been born of the Spirit, sealed by the Spirit, and filled with the Spirit. That is why I'm asking you for a fresh work of the Spirit in my life. So, Father, not doubting your promise one bit and without shame or hesitation, I ask for a fresh stirring and filling of your Spirit. I know that apart from your Spirit, I can't believe the gospel and love Jesus the way I want to. So, Father, by the power that raised Jesus from the dead, open the eyes of my heart to see more of Jesus. Dazzle me with his delights. Buckle my knees with his beauty. Put me face down on the ground as I see his glory and grace. Grant me wonder and awe in response to Jesus' perfection and complete redemption of my life. Father, give me power with all your children to know the height, the depth, and width and breadth of Jesus' love, a love that surpasses knowledge, the only love that is better than life, the only love that is enough. You've poured out Jesus' love into my heart before. Do it again and again and again. May the love of Jesus be the most compelling and propelling force in my life, turning my whining into worship, my timidity into fearless faith, my small dreams into a kingdom vision, my hesitation to speak into a life of making Jesus known in all I do. By the Christ exalting power of the Holy Spirit, give me boldness to speak with truth when I face opposition. Give me faith that you will heal the sick that I meet. Give me confidence that you will work in signs and wonders through me. Father, I believe that you are working in all things for your glory and for our good. So I pray these things in Jesus' exalted and awesome name. Amen.